The Gospel according to Luke chapter 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you as we go about our lives today, this week, and always. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. The gospel writer of Luke likes to present an orderly, thorough account of things, as mentioned in his prologue. Unlike John's gospel, which is more narrative and full of Jesus' monologues, Luke's author frames his gospel in history. Today's gospel reading is highlighting the political situation of his context. Judea is ruled by a Roman governor, and the Jewish leaders are ruled by Emperor Tiberius, who has ruled for 15 years. In the midst of this political reality, the gospel writer highlights John the Baptist, born to Zechariah and Elizabeth, who advance in their age, are blessed with John after being barren for many years. John was also the cousin of Jesus, the elder by only months, and though often questioned to be the Messiah, was sent by God to be a precursor to Jesus. The writer of Luke focuses on divine fulfillment of prophecies in the Old Testament. The angel Gabriel, who brought good news to Zechariah about John's conception, announced what John's role would be as a precursor to Jesus. "And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared for him." It's from Luke 1:16-17. And Zechariah reiterated this prophecy after he was filled with the Holy Spirit after John's birth. "And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." Luke 1:76-77. Luke's author jumps from the birth of John to Jesus in the temple at age 12 to John's time in the wilderness as an adult in today's reading, leaving out 30 years between John's birth and present-day John to focus the hearer and the reader on the theme of divine fulfillment of prophecy. John is the divine fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Luke 3:4-6. John is the prophet standing in the threshold between the Old Testament prophets and the promised prophet to come, Jesus. In his adult appearance in Luke, John is said to be found in the wilderness. Michelle Beth Dinkler, assistant professor of New Testament at Yale Divinity School, comments, John the Baptist does not simply appear one day in the desert. Luke suggests that his growth in spiritual strength actually developed there. Luke 1:80 tells us, "The child John grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel." The good news is that the wilderness was not a place of abandonment or isolation for John, but rather, Luke's writer tells us, the word of God came to John in the wilderness. Wilderness is not an unfamiliar theme to the Hebrew Bible or Old Testament as we know it. Dinkler writes, "The Hebrew Bible portrays the wilderness as a place of desolation and scarcity, but also, counterintuitively perhaps, as a place of safety and divine provision." Some of you know the story of Moses, who led his people 40 years in the wilderness in the divine provision of manna, which the Israelites ate for 40 years. Or how the young David runs to the desert to escape Saul's wrath. Or as the prophet Elijah flees from persecution into the wilderness. The wilderness stories are interwoven in the prophetic Old Testament texts, each coming with a divine promise of abundance and joy, such as Isaiah 35:1 prophesies, "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, the desert shall rejoice and blossom." The wilderness is a place we don't want to be in. It is a place where our certainties, illusion of control, and ability to see beyond the present are absent. We often find ourselves in these wilderness situations where decisions need to be made quickly, and we are tempted to go about it alone. It is a place where our weakness is exposed. Our need for God is all too clear, but our practice of turning to God, sometimes lacking, out of practice, or even poo-pooed upon by our culture, or overridden by our selfish desires, keeps us from doing what Jesus taught his followers to do. In the wilderness, Jesus was tempted and withstood trials by turning to God in prayer, in trusting in God's provision, opposed to all that was offered him if he were to turn away from God. Whenever he was in demand and those demands increased, he withdrew from the crowds, went to a place of solitude, such as a mountain, and prayed, asking God to fill him with strength and guide him to do God's will. Often we find ourselves in the wilderness when caring for sick loved ones, aging family members, children, experiencing broken relationships, job and school stresses, health concerns, financial uncertainties, relationship challenges, the death of a loved one, a relocation, pastoral succession, you name it. The wilderness is not a place where we want to be. We can find ourselves wondering where God is in the midst of this desolate, scarce topography of mountains and valleys and bends. We can fail to trust and turn to God, thinking we can do it alone, though we're not made to go it alone. The good news, friends, is that like John, who gained his spiritual strength and wisdom in the wilderness, the word of God comes to us too in our wilderness. In baptism, we were claimed as God's beloved, forgiven child, anointed with the Holy Spirit and brought into community to be sustained by Christ's redeeming love through his body and blood, in, with, and under the bread and the wine in Holy Communion. Where we receive a visible sign of God's forgiveness and taste and see that the Lord is good, that the Lord provides all that we need in the wilderness. Like the Israelites who for 40 years wandered in the wilderness and received God's provision in the form of manna, we too receive God's provision in Holy Communion to strengthen, sustain, and restore us back to God when we have forgotten that God is with and for us, even in the wilderness. Thanks be to God. Amen.